Our scripture reading for today is taken from very familiar words found in Psalm 51, the great penitential psalm of King David following his fall into sin with Bathsheba, and of course how the Lord also retrieved him through the work of the prophet Nathan. We hear these verses. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Have you ever surprised yourself with your sin? Have you ever surprised yourself with maybe the depth of something you fell into once or twice or maybe more frequently? Have you ever gotten to a point where you look back and say, I just can't believe I did that. How did I end up doing something so stupid and so wrong and so immoral? Sometimes it happens to people as they become parents and they're now teaching their children as they're going up into maybe their 12, 13, 14-year age span and on into adolescence. Sometimes it starts hitting people, some of the things that they did in their youth that they're now warning their children about. There are times when we maybe think that some of the stuff that we can fall into is so out of character for who we are now. It's not too hard to imagine King David, maybe months or years after his fall into the sins with Bathsheba and so on, it's not too hard to imagine him thinking to himself some night lying in bed, I just can't believe I did that. How in the world did I let sin just take over and dominate me to such an extent that I ended up taking someone else's wife, impregnating her, and killing her husband? As David contemplates the depth of his sin and as he thinks about where this all came from in him, he starts to trace sin back inside of himself. Not just what he did, but why did he do it? How did it take place? What was the process in his mind and heart that caused this to happen? In other words, he starts to ask the question, where does all of this garbage that comes out of me, where does this come from inside of me? What is the source of it? And by God's divine revelation to him, David doesn't just examine the fruit that's hanging on the tree of his life and doesn't just examine the leaves on the tree and the stems and the branches, but he goes back to the trunk and he goes down to the roots and to the very seed that has been planted in him that caused this horrific series of events to come out of him. A lot of times, if you're like me, we can focus on the external act that we do when we do something wrong. Maybe we lied, or maybe we put somebody down. Maybe something is like stealing or shoplifting or a lustful act and so on. It's easy for us to just think of sin in terms of those actual things that come out of us on the outside. But at times we also need to contemplate, so where does that start? Where does that come from? And our Lord Jesus would trace it all back to our hearts. He says, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft. This is where it all starts. And when we look at what God says about ourselves in his word, we realize that our very essence, spiritually our essence, if you will, is contaminated. That way back, at even the point of our conception, as David says in this very psalm, this contamination of evil and wickedness was attached to him. Now, we don't like to hear this about ourselves, but it's absolutely crucial and necessary for us to know what God's word actually says about us in our condition, for us to have a proper relationship with him. If you take your doctor's diagnosis about your terminal illness too lightly, you are going to be less inclined to follow his prescription for the medicine that will cure you. When you and I are tempted to treat sin lightly and as less of a problem than it truly is, then we are also going to end up treating Christ and God's grace lightly and with less seriousness. Now, having a knowledge about this condition inside of me and inside of you, having a knowledge of this as David is given here, has to come by God's revelation. Man can't figure this out on his own. We can figure out that there's something wrong with us, but not to this depth. This takes divine intervention into our minds and hearts to reveal this to us. And you can see that by the fact that in every other religion in the world, apart from biblical Christianity, they all begin with the premise, well, there's something good in man, isn't there? There's something man can do and offer to God. Biblical Christianity is the only one that comes at us and says, you are rotten to the core spiritually, every one of you, and deserving of God's damnation. That's pretty harsh. David's prayer that we see before us in our text today is very interesting and beautiful and edifying. But it's interesting to note, if you look at it closely, he doesn't just pray that God would help him to stop sinning. I'm sure that was part of his prayer too. But he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. He's saying, God, don't just keep me from doing the acts, but purify me inside. Purify my very heart, my soul, my thoughts. And in Christ, and through Christ, you and I are credited by God with that purity. This beautiful prayer that we have in front of us is so familiar to us because it was placed very early on in the life of the church into its liturgy. It was often sung soon after the sermon. It's become known as the offertory prayer, not because it's when we do the offerings, although that often follows in our services, but the name came about because this was the time in the service during the singing of a song like this when people would bring the bread and the wine that would be used for the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper that would soon follow. And this beautiful prayer was incorporated into the life of the church very early on because it summarizes so well what the heart of every Christian seeks from God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Now that I have become so aware of the depth of my wickedness, but now that I have heard and seen, God, of your marvelous grace in Christ and your wonderful love and forgiveness that has spared someone even as wicked as I am to the core, that has given someone like me the hope of everlasting life in heaven, declared me righteous in your sight, now our hearts want to burst forth with this prayer before the Lord. It's interesting, too, as you look at David's words, how he puts the petitions together. He acknowledges that the presence of the Holy Spirit in him is entirely the reason why he has this faith. He takes no credit for it himself. In fact, he acknowledges that if the Holy Spirit were in any way to withdraw from him, he would collapse in unbelief and go back to his sin. And so he prays, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. As if he's saying to God, don't let me rot in misery and despair over the things that I have done. Don't let me just go curl up in a ball and be mad at myself the rest of my life for the evil that I've fallen into. But Lord, remind me of your grace, refresh me in your forgiveness. Help me to realize how wonderful your mercy is, that you've forgiven me, and that I have the hope of heaven before me, that I have peace with you through the coming Christ. Notice how clearly David recognizes that all of this spiritual activity that's stirring inside of him toward God is clearly from the work of God. Once he is now recovered from this horrific sin and has been restored back into God's grace through through faith. Once he is recovered, David now desires to be used to help others to find that same wonderful grace of God. And that's often what happens in the hearts of the believers. Once we have come to know how fantastic Christ is for us, what he means for each one of us, and what that means for our future, there's just a natural built-in desire to want to help other people trapped in sin and unbelief. And there's a joy that comes along with this. There's a joy that gets restored in us, not only about our own salvation, but being a part of the work of God's church. Being a part, playing a role, as small as it may be at times, in helping other people to hear about this fantastic Savior. And this is God's pattern. He takes those who themselves have been rescued from the despair of sin, cleans them off, washes them, purifies them, makes them his children, gives them the knowledge of heaven, and then sends them out into the world to bring others the same fantastic knowledge. Just as God's law must first penetrate my heart before I go talk to somebody else about their sin, you know that parable when Jesus says, if your brother has a speck of dust in his eye, pull the beam out of your own eye first. So just as God's law must penetrate my heart first before I go talk to someone else about his or her sin, that's how it is with the gospel as well. God desires that the grace and warmth of his gospel penetrates your heart first, and then that will motivate you to seek others with that same intense grace of God.